John 21, beginning in verse 1, and we're going to look through to verse 14. And this, I've been thinking about J.F. all week, because I think this passage was written with him especially in mind, because it's about fishing. It's about fishing, so just couldn't stop thinking about Jay and his passion for it. And we even had a conversation yesterday about trammel fishing and the kinds of first century ways of fishing that are mentioned here. Well, let me read for us this passage, and then we'll pray. This is the Word of God. It's the sword of the Spirit. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. Now, this is after Christ had been crucified, died, and buried. And now he's been resurrected, and he's revealing himself to the disciples. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children," or friends, "do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of the fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. There's so much in this passage. We won't be able to cover it all, but let's pray for understanding and not only understanding, but the life that should flow from such understanding. Father, thank you for your word. Oh God, we know that you promised to achieve the purpose for which you have given your word. We pray that you would achieve that good purpose in our life as a church, but in each individual's life here as well. In the name of Jesus Christ, our resurrected Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. So, many of you know, I became a follower of Jesus around the age of 21. I was born and baptized in the Roman Catholic Church, but I didn't really embrace my baptism and what it was about until I was about 21 years old. And when I did, I came to understand, you know, that I should be out sharing the gospel with other people as a part of what the Christian life is about. The Christian mission is in large part about sharing the gospel with others so that they might believe, and then helping people to grow in the Christian life. And that was my desire. Now, at the time, one of my jobs, I had a lot of different jobs when I was younger, but I was working at a gym. I was at the front desk of a gym. and there were, of course, lots of people I got to know, and one of them was a middle school girl. She was not a popular girl in her circles. She didn't have any friends. She always came alone, and she always wanted to talk. She was happy to talk with me, and I was happy to as well, just for the simple fact that I had nothing else to do. You know, front desk people were not exactly the busiest folks, but also, it was a great opportunity to get to know somebody and eventually get to share the good news with her. And so I would do that. And she really, I think, was longing for attention. I don't know if what was going on inside of her home. Maybe she didn't have a dad or something. But she was really, you know, happy to talk with me. I'm like, when are you going to go to the gym, right? And so we just talk, and eventually got to share a lot about Jesus with her. Meanwhile, there was this coworker I had. This was before Dorothy, my wife. And she was interested in a relationship with me. And I wasn't about chasing women. I was about, you know, about doing what God wanted me to. And she wasn't a Christian either. So, you know, like, I'd share about Jesus, but she didn't want to talk about that. So I ended up talking more to this girl at the front desk than her. And eventually she would make fun of me, and her friends put me down because I'm always talking to this middle school girl. Anyway, so I get to really befriend this girl. We have a good friendship, and it was my last day at work, and I'm leaving. And this middle schooler, she gave me a gold necklace. It wasn't a super expensive one, with a cross on it. A cross, right? And I was so touched by it because I really didn't know where she was. But by doing this, it seemed like kind of like a sign, like, yeah, I am believing in Christ, or at least I'm coming along in that direction. It made me so happy. I pulled back into my driveway in my car. I turned off the car. I took the necklace out of my pocket, and I, you know, put the clasp over the rearview mirror. And, you know, a lot of things happen in life. You never know why things happen exactly, right? Like, we don't want to read too much into things. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us we don't understand so much of God's plan or purpose. But as soon as I put that clasp on, what do you think happened? As soon as I took my hands down, it broke. It just, I put it on, it was on there for a second, then just broke and fell to the ground. And again, I don't know why that happened. But in my own mind, what immediately happened was I thought, I must be prideful about this, you know? I'm just focusing in on, like, how many people have I gotten to believe in Jesus? How many people have I helped along the way in following Jesus? And maybe I'm putting too much of an emphasis on the results of the Christian mission, and I should be putting the emphasis somewhere else. And God wants me to see that. But whether or not that was God's intention for me, the truth of the matter is that as important as seeking results and success in reaching other people, not just in evangelism, but also in helping them grow in Christ, as important as success and results in those areas are, there's something more important and more central. And that's where we need to put our attention most. And what's most important and most essential, what's more important than even the Christian mission, is Christian communion with God. That's what the whole mission is about. I will be your God and you shall be my people. And that's what, in part, this passage is here to teach us. And I want you to see that. And I hope that we can explore our own lives together. And you can run these words through your life and see how they are life-giving. And can guide you better than the words of this world. So let's look at this passage. It begins with Christ revealing himself, making himself known. But not just displaying that he exists now, resurrected from the dead, but the significance of his resurrection. You've got seven disciples going out. I don't necessarily know if there's any significance to there being seven disciples here. Maybe it just counts for the entirety of the church, the complete number of the church. What I'm going to be telling you is that this passage is fairly symbolic. And so we need to look a little bit beyond just the surface. So, for instance, this passage isn't just about fishing. Sorry, Jay. Right? This isn't here to teach you about how to be the best fishers, like how to catch fish really well as Christian people. Maybe that's fairly obvious. But the fishing and the catching of fish is symbolic for, well, what Jesus said to Peter. Come, follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. So they go out fishing. Simon Peter says, I'm going to go out fishing. And we shouldn't read this as Peter saying, I know that I should be going out and being the apostle to the Jews and trying to reach the Jews, but I'm getting up in Jesus. I'm leaving and I'm going to go back to my old job. That's not what's going on here. Peter is a fisherman. He wants to eat. Maybe he wants to make a little money. We know Paul, for example, made tents as well as being an apostle to the Gentiles, right? So he's just going out fishing. And the other disciples want to go with him. So they all go with him. And listen, several of these people are professional fishers. They know how to do it. They know the ABC. They know from front to back what are the ways in which you catch fish. And guess what they don't do? They catch nothing, right? They don't catch any fish. Now, again, this is not about how do we catch fish as disciples. It's about how do we catch men. How do we do the work of Christian mission? Reaching people with the gospel and then effectively discipling them and guiding them in the right way so that they might grow in Christ and be like Christ. And for these apostles, what we're seeing is that at times in the church, either on a large scale as the church or in our individual lives, we are putting in effort and we are not going to see any success, any results whatsoever. There will be no chain to hang on our rearview mirror. Maybe you are trying to reach somebody in your family with the gospel and you just do not see any change at all. No interest whatsoever. You're not catching anything. Maybe you're trying to guide your children in the right way, and you're not seeing any change, none whatsoever. Maybe you're trying to overcome some sin, coveting what other people have, or some form of idolatry, or just an anger, a seething anger at other people. You know you should honor your parents, but more often than not, you just find yourself just seething anger towards them. And you don't see any progress. This happens in the Christian life. This happens in the Christian mission. And so what do we do with that? What do you do with that, typically? For many, what we're tempted to do is become cynical. Ah, this will never work. Maybe we just stop praying about it. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I didn't get what I wanted right then and in the way that I wanted, so I don't really pray anymore. I mean, I pray sometimes. Or, you know what often happens? This happens a lot with ministers too. You know, you're trying to get success and you get focused on the results, and when results aren't coming, you look over at somebody else and you see that they have results. And they have success. And you start comparing yourself with them. And you start getting depressed. And you start feeling low. And you start feeling what some people call one down from them. You start getting angry at God. Do you ever got involved in the comparison game? I think a very good statement is comparison is the thief of joy. We are not, as Christians, we are not as disciples of Jesus on mission for Jesus and seeking to live the Christian life to become like Jesus, we are not to be comparing ourselves with others' success in mission or their success in the Christian life. We compare within. And so do not become cynical, do not stop praying, and don't compare. Sometimes in the Christian life, it is not God's will that at that moment we have success. Instead, we should be hopeful. But why? Why be hopeful without success? Well, let's continue. Because just as day was breaking in verse 4, just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. You see, his resurrection body had some different features. Yeah, he still had the scars. He still had his side that was hurt. But his resurrection body, just like our resurrection body, will also have discontinuities. Things that are different. Well, anyways, they didn't know it was him. And Jesus said to them, children or friends, do you not have any fish? And the way this is phrased is that In Greek, it expects a negative answer. Like, it's a rhetorical question. Like, you guys don't have any fish, do you? They say no. He says to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. And so they do. And of course, when they do that, they do this one instruction. They don't just pull up one fish. They pull up such a large amount, they can barely get it up. It's like 153 large fish from the Sea of Galilee, from the Sea of Tiberias. And so, when this catch happens, John, who's always more perceptive, the disciple whom Jesus loved, he gets it right away. He says, it's the Lord. And Peter, who's not always the one who's immediately kind of more spiritually perceptive, but the one who's more spiritually impulsive, right? He just like jumps in the water. He's like, oh! Just jumps right in the water to go after him, right? Eventually, we will have success in the Christian life, in our pursuit of overcoming sin, in seeing our children, our friends, our neighbors come along in the way. And here's one thing we're learning. When that happens, yes, it involved our effort. They still had to cast the net on the right side of the boat. But the reason the success came was because of who? Oh, come on, y'all. Who? Can I get a Jesus? Come on.
Jesus.
One more time. Ready? Why does it happen? Why do we get success? Because of?
Jesus.
Amen. It's because of Him. It's really because of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. But centrally, we look to Him. It is He who gives us success in the Christian life and the Christian mission according to His timetable. And therefore, according to His wisdom. But He will give us success. An abundance of success and an abundance of results that we could not have ever conceived, have asked, or imagined. And much of that may be reserved for the resurrection. But we still need to set our hopes on that and look forward to that day. We need to have a bigger perspective for the work of the Lord in our lives and through our mission. You know, there are missionaries who went across the sea and they sought to reach people, and by the end of their lives they had like two people who were disciples. But then a generation later from those two, there were like 20 churches. God will grant success according to His timetable, but when it happens, we need to recognize and give praise to Him, because He is the one who always gives it, whether small or big. I don't always know why you're not gaining the success you want in your marriage. Maybe both people want a better marriage, and they're trying, and they just keep missing each other. They both feel like they're doing what the Lord wants, and there's no success. I don't know why necessarily that's the case. You might be trying to raise your kids to follow the Lord and just develop in every area of life. And why it's not happening right now, I can't always tell you why. Maybe you, as a Christian young person, you want to, when you come to worship, feel like worshiping. And that's good that you want it, but you're not feeling it. And I can't tell you exactly why it's not there. But I can tell you this, that when it does come, you're going to know who gave it. You see, when the Lord makes you wait for the success, when the Lord makes you wait for the results, when those results come, you can only give praise to Him, because now you know it obviously was Him who made the difference. But does Jesus just leave? Like, is that it? He's like, throw the net on the right side. 153 fish. All right, guys, enjoy the fish. He leaves. No, because the Christian life isn't about the results of Christian mission. The Christian life is about something much higher and deeper and more wonderful than the results. The results matter. The results are good. But they're not ultimate. What's ultimate? Come, eat breakfast. We've got a fantastic God. Just pause. Pause on the sermon's larger point. Jesus made them breakfast? God is like this. Go look in the Quran. Allah doesn't make breakfast. And Jesus makes a beast breakfast. Let me tell you. I've never eaten it, but I can tell you it must be amazing. All right, carry on with the sermon. The Christian life is not about the success of Christian mission. The Christian life is about communion with God. It's not about the size of your faith, whether you've got a mustard seed of faith or a pumpkin seed of faith. The Christian life and the mission is about meeting with Him in deep, true communion. Do you remember Mary and Martha? Jesus comes to their house. One sits at His feet. The other one's busy doing all kinds of work. I can't remember which one it was. Was it Mary that sat at His feet? And Martha's like, why don't you tell her to get up and get about the work of Christian mission? Why don't you tell her to get up about the work? And Jesus said, she chose the better portion. Sitting at my feet. Hearing from my voice. Being with me. The living God become man. The living God become man to be crucified for her. To die for her. To give her new resurrection life. Not just now, but for eternity. The Christian results matter, but more important is that God and man is our God, and we are His people. And He comes and invites us to have a meal with Him today. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took the cup and He said, "This is the cup of my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink, all of you." On that same night, He took the bread and He broke it. And He said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat all of it." Christ just doesn't invite us to come have some wicked good fish and bread on the shore. He comes to feed us His own flesh and His own blood. He comes to feed us Himself, to give us eternal life. This is what it's about. Let's not compare ourselves with others in our success. Let's not become despondent or cynical when things don't work out as quickly as we'd like. But let's look to Him. Let's commune with Him every day. Let's bang on His chest and even say, "Why, oh God, is it not working yet?" Because at His table, that's okay. But come to Him. Commune with Him. If you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have been baptized in any church, any gospel preaching church, that gospel of grace that Christ and His work is enough, and we receive this free gift of eternal life by faith, then you can come join with us in this meal today. If you've yet to believe this gospel of God's grace and be baptized, then please let the elements pass for now. But today and now is the hour of your salvation.